Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It's Arts and Seizures with your host, Mike Edison. And Judy McGuire.
Art and Seizures.
Can you dig it? Here we are, the first ever Heritage Radio Holiday Riot, Volume 1, special edition of Arts and Seizures. All right. Wow, we got a full house here tonight. No kidding. Sitting in for Judy McGuire, who is still on assignment tonight, is once again the lovely Jesse Kiefer from Heritage Radio's The Morning After. Hey, Jesse, what's up? Nice
it's,
to see you.
It's great to be here. I will do my best to channel Judy's coolness.
Well, glad to see you here again. But we have a full house tonight. It's crazy. We have clergymen, musicians, punk rockers, reprobates, miscreants, bounders, and roustabouts. On the piano tonight, we're very lucky to have Professor Mickey Finn, the world's greatest piano player, going to be providing some soundtrack for us tonight. Oh, man. This is going to be some kind of crazy holiday. And hopefully, to keep some sort of sanity, is my good friend, Rabbi Dan Bronstein. Hey, Dan.
Shalom Aleichem.
All right. Good to see you, man. We got Brian Hurt from Big Daddy Long Legs going to provide some music for us. Spiro Panopoulos, did I say that right? Spiro and Paul Girard and Adam Velez from the forthcoming Heritage show, Eating Disorder. Spiro also here channeling Judy's McGuire because you live with my usual co-host.
Yes, I do.
And God bless you for that. You're a saint, my friend. From Schmaltz Brewing, we have Zach Davis, who's going to bring in some Hebrew, some nice Jewish beer to taste. Also from Heritage Radio, we have the lovely Erica Wise, the John Stewart of Food and host of Let's Get Real. Hey, Erica.
Good Yuntif,
and it's your birthday, so happy birthday.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Happy birthday!
Holy cow. And in the booth, I think we have the double mitzvah of Joe Galarraga, King of Engineers, and Jack Inslee, producer to the stars.
Wow, Joe's King of Engineers? That's solid.
Yeah, he got bumped up.
That's great. I'm happy to hear that.
But we miss you in the booth, Jack, on Sundays. Anyway, welcome. So we got this great double mitzvah, like I say, not only of Joe and Jack, but of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving happening together. I refuse to call it, though, Thanksgiving.
I'm with you all the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's bullshit, right? Yeah, it's the Manischewitz marketing scheme. It's not even easy to say. It's dumb as molasses.
Right, and the monarchy, all that stuff.
The monarchy. Explain to the goy out there what the hell that means, Rabbi Dan.
Well, I think what it is it's a menorah, the thing that you light the Hanukkah candles in the shape of a turkey. And I'm not making this up. And
it's like the NBC symbol.
Sort of with candles, but much cheesier. This is a once in a many thousands of years event, the coincidence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So
this doesn't count as cultural appropriation, as in the Miley Cyrus variety?
Well, God forbid. That's a horrific image to even put her in the same category as Hanukkah. That's just... That makes me swell up. No, it's actually, they're two really great holidays, in my opinion. Hanukkah is all fun. Thanksgiving is all the best. That's American. And so hopefully there's a way of doing this that takes the best of both traditions.
So who are my Jews here? How many Jews we actually have here?
Shalom.
I'm here.
Two.
I can prove it, but I'm keeping my pants on.
I think I see three.
Yep, three.
So for the Goy, you're Greek, which is almost Jewish.
I don't know, Spiro, you look more Semitic than just about any Goy.
Definitely ethnic.
So, Dan, why don't you tell us, tell the Goys actually what Hanukkah is, because I don't think people get it. They think it's, you know, and of course, traditionally it happens at the same time as Christmas, more or less, and I think the two things get conflated, unfortunately.
Right, so Hanukkah actually predates Christmas, goes way back earlier, even before Jesus was born. Hanukkah that we celebrate today actually comes out of two different holidays. So now when we talk about Hanukkah, we talk about a military victory against the Seleucids. They were part of Alexander's former empire, and they were trying to impose a culture on the ancient land of Israel. So there's the military victory aspect of it. But many hundreds of years later, the rabbis, the Talmudic rabbis, came up with the story of the Hanukkah miracle, which is after the Greek Syrians were kicked out, after the Seleucids were kicked out of the temple, they were cleaning the temple, and they needed to light the menorah, and there was only enough oil for one night.
It's turkey.
What's that?
It was turkey fat.
No turkeys. I don't know if there were turkeys in that part of the world. Actually, it's a good question. But, and schmaltz is a little bit later. I love schmaltz, but it's a little bit... Anyways, there was only enough oil for one day, and there was a great miracle God provided in that one little flask. The oil ended up lasting until 8 days.
That one little flask. I wish that worked with my bourbon.
I for a lot of different things, it would be nice. And echoes of the, what is it, the fish and bread story, right? What's that? Loaves and fishes, right. So it's a similar type of motif, but these two stories about military victory and freedom of religion, that gets added to this other story of the miracle.
All right, and of course, later on it became a sort of gift-giving thing. I think that has a lot to do with Christmas. And of course, traditionally, we cook things in oil on Hanukkah.
That's right.
Which is great. So it's also the fried food fest, which I believe is, so it might as well be American.
Latkes, the potato pancakes.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of them, and Erica, you are the master latke maker here. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
You know, I think the potato to onion ratio is very, very important. People who use too few onions, I don't respect them. And by the way, for anybody who wants to make latkes, they're pretty easy and there are a lot of recipes on the internet. But if it says use breadcrumbs or flour and not matzo meal, fuck that noise, okay?
Out. We couldn't afford matzo meal or breadcrumbs back in the shtetl. We had to use what we had. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Breadcrumbs.
So what's the secret to a good latke?
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. This is what my mother, who's from Russia, the whole deal, you know, got out of Europe, the whole thing. You grate your potatoes by hand. It has to be by hand because you're a Jew, you have to suffer.
Oh.
Right? It's part of the whole, like, cultural thing. You have to suffer. You have to grate by hand, onions, potatoes, grate them by hand till your knuckles bleed. When you grate the potatoes, you grate them into like a dish towel or a cheesecloth, and then you squeeze all the liquid out, right? Everybody knows that. That's a basic step. But then you keep that liquid.
Keep that potato starch.
And you let the potato starch precipitate to the bottom. You pour off the liquid, you scoop out the starch, you mix it back in. That's the secret to the crispy latke. And you have to use a shit ton of oil, and you have to make them really thin.
I agree. I tend to make them smaller, silver dollar size. Make a lot of them rather than the big pancake size.
Yeah, it's the Eastern European model of the thin, crispy latke versus the Germanic model of the thicker, doughier latke.
That's right.
Well, I'm the Eastern European model of the
Jew. Me too. I am the Eastern European model. Yeah. I mean, look at us. You know,
we're all in the
it's
same
too
boat.
Bad it's radio because we look like, you know.
You're the family.
Long-lost triplets.
It looks like the L train. It's like now.
Three short, chubby, glasses-wearing Jews sitting around.
In the Shulchan Aruch, the medieval code of Jewish law, it actually says you have to use a shitload of oil. So it says that in the 16th century.
And it should be goose fat, really.
Is that the same book that advises on Purim you get so drunk that you don't remember your name?
That's a little bit earlier. It's one so you don't know the difference between good and evil, basically. And that's pretty drunk.
Yeah, that's drunk.
But
that
it should be goose fat.
Okay.
Not olive oil.
And of course, it needs the blood of a Jew in there.
We've got some heritage geese lined up that we're going to slaughter later. We're going to start rendering out the fat.
Before we get to that, though, we have our sponsor tonight from the Schmaltz from Schmaltz Brewing is Zach Davis. Hey, Zach, why don't you come in and bring some beer? We're going to taste some beer while we talk a little bit more about Hanukkah. Zach out there?
This is Jack behind the boards. I just want to say the beer is great.
All right.
That's all.
Come on, Zach. So, you know, I was trying to get to the bottom. You know, on Hanukkah, we give out those chocolate coins, the gelt. And I was trying to get to the bottom of this, and all I could figure out is that first it starts because Jews love money, but chocolate coins are cheaper than actual money, and that's why we give it out.
You've just asked a very that's really interesting. When does it actually go from gelt to these chocolate coins? I don't know the answer.
It's an American thing.
Although, I'm sure it's an American
thing. Yeah, of course it is. The usual stereotypes.
But doesn't everyone love money?
So, Zach, grab a microphone. Tell us what you're bringing us today, because certainly a big part of the holidays is drinking and drunk relatives, and pretty soon we're going to talk about how to deal with them.
Yes, indeed. So, I brought some delicious beverages for you guys tonight.
All right.
Including, but not limited to, the one and only extreme Hanukkah beer in the country, Jubilation, which is actually this year brewed with 17 malts, 17 hops, and 17% alcohol content. So if that doesn't light your candles and get you spinning, I don't know what
will.
Why
not 18? Because 18 is good luck.
So thank you for that. So
it's light.
So every year.
Get a shot of Manischewitz back.
Right. So every year we brew this with the number of malts, number of hops, and percentage of alcohol that we are years old. So we started this for our eighth year, Miraculous Jubilation. It was a miracle that after 8 years there was an extreme Jewish brewery that existed. And now 17 years later.
Well, let's have a taste of that.
Let's indeed. We'll just start with the heavy stuff.
Pass it around like a bunch of beatniks.
You got it. I would suggest drinking straight out of the bottle.
So Dan, do you recommend getting 8 gifts for every night of Hanukkah?
You know, it totally, now that I've got a little son, I like giving him a little thing each night, but it totally depends on the family.
You know, the way when I grew up, I mean, the first night was like, woo, air hockey table.
Right.
But by the eighth night, it was like, oh, here's a cork.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah, it precipitated pretty fucking quickly from slot cars to like, you know, maybe a gift certificate for the movies to a pair of socks, and then like here's a piece of lint.
We almost never did presents in my home growing up, so I just do for fun.
All right, well I'm gonna taste this beer here.
I feel jubilated.
I hope so.
Nice.
Well, that's delicious. Make Finn taste this here, beer. God, taste that. Let's know what you think.
So we've got another one coming around too, which is our homage to Lenny Bruce.
Oh.
I thought you guys might be into that.
This crowd, are you kidding? These beatniks?
Angry.
Yeah, so this is actually a new collaboration that we released. We have a beer called Bittersweet Lenny's R.I.P.A., which is brewed with an obscene amount of malts and hops. A rye-based double IPA, weighs in at 10% alcohol content. And this guy right here, we brewed with some Belgian yeast. So pretty unique, over the top. Like I said, we're not like those other Jewish breweries.
What other Jewish breweries?
All of them.
Well, there's nothing in beer that would make it not kosher. That's delicious. There's nothing really in beer that makes it treif.
Well, you need to have somebody watch over it, do the heckscher, make sure that there's no mischief going on.
And we do. No BLTs over the bottling line.
All right. That's progress.
And, of course, we should have brought some jelly donuts, my other favorite Hanukkah food.
No, we encourage
them. Right, that's a Middle Eastern thing.
Everything fried in oil. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. So we're here with Zach from Schmaltz Brewing, drinking some Hebrew beer. Tell you what, let's take a quick break to remind everybody that you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, which is member-supported, and we're going to come back and start talking about the American holiday, Thanksgiving.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
All All right, we're back in a special edition of Arts and Seizures here. I am your main Jew for the evening. Sorry, Rabbi.
Okay.
but we're going to move quickly from the sacred to the secular. Can you dig it?
Absolutely.
And go right to Thanksgiving. Everybody here dig Thanksgiving. It's the holiday. You don't have to get presents. You don't have to go to church.
Yay.
You get to eat. You drink beer out of cans, drink some wine, get fucked up with the family, and watch football.
You definitely have to deal with your family. But, I mean, the thing is, growing up as a Greek, we never really kind of got Thanksgiving. It was always like, okay, so a bunch of white people killed a bunch of Indians, and oh, shit, we're very thankful. You know? And my mom never really did much about it, but, you know, she would make it be something for us because we didn't want to feel like freaks coming from a different country. You know, so, I mean, I never quite understood it. I was like, was there a time where the Indians went, yes.
I'm glad you asked, because I think we can explain this. Jack, you have that clip from my all-time favorite Thanksgiving movie, The Addams Family Values.
Is that your all? That's really the all-time favorite, yeah?
Well, The Last Waltz, perhaps, but we'll get to that a little
later. We didn't want to feel like freaks.
Yeah, let's cue it up here,
so,
right?
I
never quite understood it. I was like,
here we go.
I cannot break bread with you. You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims, especially Sarah Miller.
Gary, she's changing the words.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you.
and thus Wednesday and Pugsley burned down the village. So Jesse, you're going out to near Plymouth for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, to Chatham, Massachusetts.
And it's going to be pleasant. No horror stories. No drunk relatives. No Republicans.
No. If I go to Phoenix, there might be some of the horror stories. I was just when you were talking about the Lockes, I remember going to a Thanksgiving at a friend's house, and her mother opened up a box of potatoes to make. Can you actually make latkes out of boxed potatoes?
No, there's no way. No, that's a shanda.
Shanda.
It was a
boxed
horror.
Potato. I mean, it's
is it actually?
You
potato?
Can cut it into lines.
That's a Thanksgiving party.
So, Spiro, I mean, I understand you got some pretty crazy things going on in your Greek household.
But I mean,
but I've heard stories from Judy.
Yeah, I'm here with my boys, Paul Chef Gerard. He works over at the Exchange Alley, and our friend Adam Bellis. We're going to be doing a show here on Heritage on Heritage Radio. Shameless plug in January. But, you know, some of the things about Thanksgiving that always got me were just the family dysfunction. And one of my favorite stories is when Judy's family met mine. And Judy's family is Irish, and my family is Greek. And what happened was I pre-warned her, and I said, listen, one of the things my dad, rest his soul, has an issue with is every time I've introduced him to a girlfriend, the parents, or the parents thereof, they always got this thing, it's like feta cheese and olives. They're always like, oh, I love feta cheese and olives. And he has this thing about like, well, you know, we created democracy, we created philosophy, and the best you could talk to me about is feta cheese and olives. And Judy's parents are educated people. She said, you know, they're not going to do that. I'm sure they won't. So we all went to dinner together, right? And we're eating, and it's great, and no one can speak to each other because there's a language barrier. My parents don't really speak English. We're translating. It's fun. Everybody's trying to be good. And, you know, and Judy's stepmom goes, you know, where are you guys from? And we're from Kalamata. So, oh, well, there it is. You know, we're from Kalamata. And she goes, oh, my God, I love the olives. And my dad leans over and goes, she said olives, right? I go, yeah, Dad. He goes, well, what are they, Irish? And I go, yeah. He goes, in Greek, he goes, tell them I like to get blind stinking drunk.
That's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Paul, what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? You got family?
Yeah, I'm going to go suffer through my family. Well, Paul, I'm not Jewish, but we like to suffer.
Well, you guys are the Brooklyn posse here, born and bred, right?
Born and bred in Brooklyn, seven generations.
So it's going to be calm? Is it going to be a calm scene?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's in AA. You know, so. It's a totally different scene, you know. It's just not the same as it used to be. I remember one year my brother had I think this was like one of the, when Quaaludes still kind of existed before they went away. He had a friend of his that sent him some in the mail, and they all came out powdered. So I think I was about like 12 or 13, and he said for Thanksgiving he was going to teach me how to make what he called the Karen Ann Quinlan cocktail. And he took a big glass of vodka and mixed a couple of tablespoons of that in there and then decided to teach me how to shave. That was not a very good Thanksgiving.
Brian.
Yo.
Itinerant blues man. You grew up in what, St. Louis, right?
Yes, sir.
And what's going on down there? I just, you know, because I'm a New York elitist Jew, you know, Ivy League dropout, I think for you guys in St. Louis just eating off like TV trays.
No, you'd be, it's quite the opposite, actually. And actually, I'm glad to say I already got my Thanksgiving out of the way because my folks did make the rare pilgrimage from St. Louis to New York about a week ago. And my mom came and she made fried chicken in my little Brooklyn apartment. So
right on.
I'm good to go.
That's good. Got it out of the way. No one else got any horror stories? Drunk relatives, angry moms, Republicans, intolerant cousins? Because, man, I'll tell you, my family Thanksgivings were not exactly a Peanuts Thanksgiving. Boy, my mom, who has a very bad relationship with food, she will reach over to my plate and take the skin off the turkey. You don't need that, Michael. You don't need that. And I remember one year, I avoid Thanksgiving with my family like the plague. I really do. One year, my first year when I moved to New York, I actually had Thanksgiving at Beefsteak Charlie.
Oh, I love
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, endless sangria, you know, and the salad bar.
One of the things my mother, I mean, there's a lot of Jews in this room, so I'm not sure you relate, but my mother used to wrap her turkey in bacon. And it was the best motherfucking turkey. It was so amazing. It would be wrapped in bacon and stuffed with, she would start with the stovetop, okay, but she would add all her own shit, and there'd be chestnuts in there and sausage in there and all this kind of stuff. No olives and feta. The pignoli nuts, no olives and feta, though.
That was before the whole bacon rage.
That
the
was,
memo
yeah,
went out,
yeah.
The bacon is delicious.
Delicious, I know.
It's the traditional preparation.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So Erica, you going to make a turkey this year?
Well, I'm sort of co-cooking with a brother-in-law. I did it in my apartment for many, many years, but now the brother-in-law bought the big, like, Real Housewives McMansion.
Yeah.
So I have to go out there and suffer through that. But, yeah, we're going to, like, you know, do it together. So he gets the turkey. He does some of the sides. I do the dessert. I do the better sides. You know, that kind of thing. And then there's always tension because, you know, I'm just trying to outdo him and his wife feels all threatened. And, you know, it's really fun, stuff like that. One year when I was in college, I got really, really bad food poisoning on Thanksgiving from something I had eaten the night before, and that was fun. That's, like, one of my best Thanksgiving memories of, like, puking all day while everybody was downstairs eating. That was really fun. Sorry, that's kind of a downer story, but you asked, you know, crazy story.
Oi, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
I had a Thanksgiving one year where it wasn't until about 7 bottles of wine and quite a few hours, maybe it was about 8 o'clock at night, we realized that the oven hadn't been working. So we had to run the turkey across the street to the neighbor's house, who had Thanksgiving at the ungodly hour of 2 p.m., which I've never understood, and cooked the turkey, brought it back. By about 11 o'clock, my father's colleague had already passed out into her plate at the table that had no food on it. That was one of my most memorable Thanksgivings, for sure.
Yeah, something like a good drunk family member to really light up the party.
Or the odd friend who doesn't really know anybody and then just drinks way too much and does something awkward.
That's good. So if you're an odd friend, it's safe. But, you know, one year my mom said, oh, you've got to come home this year because her husband's cousin was coming and I would really like to meet him. Because we had so much in common, and I'd really, really like this guy. And I met him, and not thinking about it, what does my mother really think of me? He was a very effeminate, swishy gay man, which you know, the gayer the better for me, which is always good. But he was also a lush, and I think my mom wanted me there to sort of corral him and control him because I lived in Greenwich Village, so clearly
you know how to do that.
Yeah, so clearly I knew how to control those people. Right, but man, he got so drunk, and this beautiful bottle of Bordeaux that I had brought for dinner. What a waste, you know, pearls before swine, because you know it could be grape juice for these people. And my mother took it off the table, put tin foil on the top of it, and then put it in the refrigerator and said, "You'll have it for later." I wept for that bottle of Bordeaux. There are still nights I wake up in the middle of the night just crying over that bottle of Bordeaux.
Well, that's why you don't bring anything nice to family events like this. Just bring something that everybody can drink and you don't care enough about.
Adam.
Yeah. But
that's also why Beaujolais Nouveau comes out this week. Because it's cheap and it's guzzling, it's swillable, it it goes great with turkey. So that's, you know, when you drink it. Right.
Madam, grab the mic.
Put a straw right in that, actually. I have one Thanksgiving memory. It's actually trying to follow Paul's Quaalude story, which is actually hard to follow because I wasn't shaving back then. But mushrooms, fun. Not the ones you eat, the one you you take and, you know, wander aimlessly in fright. But I actually had a small portion of mushrooms one Thanksgiving, and my old man was so curious about what these little candies, these little treats do for you. I was like, here you go, Pop. You know, have a little bit of this. And lo and behold, every Thanksgiving, my mother turns to my father and goes, okay, so you're going to say grace now. And this one day, my father looks at me, and his face blows up. Like, it was like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. His face turns blue. He looked like one of those goldfish that just flops over and, you know, rises to the top of the tank and just starts hysterical laughing. My mom starts crying, goes, this is why we can't have nice things again. Starts hysterical crying, and then I feel guilty, but at the same time, I got the giggles. So, you know, the guilt don't set in until later on after the Manischewitz.
A serious question, remind me, do you guys say grace for Thanksgiving? Do your family say grace? Do yes. That yes. Sort of go around the table and say what we're thankful
after
for?
After a while, it gets a little bit less and less, you know, articulate. It's like, hey, you know, body of Christ, you know, everybody wanted to, you know.
Well, you're not a you're not a body of Christ guy, Rabbi.
No, no, not usually.
do you say grace? Do we? What do we?
Well,
do we
I we growing up, I mean, growing up, we were always like together with this other rabbis. All these people in my family are rabbis, and we'd all be together for Thanksgiving. So we'd play football, but we'd also recite psalms. So it was like pretty nerdy.
Wow,
it was really nerdy.
Psalms.
And this year, the whole issue that I'm working behind the scenes is this one. My wife's stepfather. Insists on making mashed potatoes with butter, even though all these people won't be mixing milk with meat. And he's like because of the kosher law, so he's like a psychopath about you have to have butter with mashed potatoes. And people are really at each other's throats.
You have
at this
to.
Point. But do you really have to? I mean, it's so complicated. So I'm being told by everyone here.
Bacon with it too, I mean.
Well, the bacon's different. I mean, that's, you know.
And butter.
I mean, mushrooms you could do.
That's another situation where you can use goose fat.
That's true. You could, right.
Yeah,
exactly. Right?
That's your answer for everything.
Goose fat.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, but can we back up a minute?
You can't
engrave anything. Back up. Jews playing football?
Yeah. Well, you're, you know, What? I missed it. What was it?
You got to get the quarterback.
You know, I sense a lot of, in this small space,
that was the thug over
I sense a lot of anti-Semitism, including from the Jews. So I'm going to call Abe Foxman and straighten this whole thing out.
Jews are the best anti-Semites.
No, but you've got all the you've got all the good cliches, the yeah, suffering and the, no, you know, not sportsmen, you know, not athletes. And, and that's a myth, you know. Jews dominated certain sports like wrestling, banking, and basketball, and Hollywood. No, see, banking. I just heard you, so that's what I mean. You're falling into all the stereotypes.
But I am one, so it's okay.
Well, it's okay. I'm just saying it's not historically
accurate. When you say dominated, you mean like fixing the World Series?
No, no. I mean that there was a time when, believe it or not, look it up. Jews were considered serious athletes.
So you guys were like the Kennedys. Like, you'd go out and play football on the lawn, and then...
Well, not as good as them, and my father would get injured every year.
A Jewy Camelot.
Even though, but...
weird would that be?
Yeah, but yeah, it was
less
weird.
Drinking, though, because we don't drink, you know, Jews don't drink.
Well, here's one that does. Speaking of grace, though, I thought I'd share a couple of my favorite Thanksgiving prayers with y'all. Jack, you got the peanuts things queued up for us?
I do.
All right. I think it's Linus is going to give us a little Thanksgiving prayer here.
In the year 1621, the pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world for freedom and justice. Amen.
Well, that was a little bit earnest, actually. A little bit earnest for my taste. Time for a musical interlude. Mickey Finn, why don't you have a drink? Let's shift it over to our itinerant bluesman, Brian Hurd, from the Norton recording artist Big Daddy Longlegs. What do you got for us today, Brian?
I got a little Thanksgiving blues I want to lay down, yeah.
All right, whip it on us, Daddy-O.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
there's some mighty bad news. Lord, I don't care what you say. You know my baby run up and quit me. Started me to drinking on Thanksgiving Day. Lord, I tried to fetch religion, but the devil would not let me pray. Yeah, I tried to fetch me religion, but the devil would not let me pray. That's why I got to stay drunk on Thanksgiving Day. On Thanksgiving Day. You know, that's one day I sure hate to have the blues. But you run off and give them to me. That's why I got to drink them off. I don't even have a turkey in my house. But if she come back home, I know I'll be thankful for something this year. Wow, run here, baby. Hear what your daddy's got to say. Yes, run here, baby. Hear what your daddy's got to say. Lord, if you come back home, I won't get drunk on Thanksgiving Day.
Right, Daddy O. Hey, Zach. What are you pouring over here? You're spoiling us with this sweet liqueur while Brian's singing. What's going on here? What is this lovely stuff?
I don't know. I was just pouring it. And now I'm drinking it.
Honey whiskey from Catskills Provisions, guys.
Oh, just whiskey came from.
Oh, that's from Jack Kinsley, producer to the Stars.
No, that was Aaron Fairbanks, executive director of the Stars.
Aaron Fairbanks is here. Woo. All right, Aaron, come on and join the party. Okay, it's like we just stopped. The L train makes one more stop. Hi, Aaron.
I feel like I just got called off the kids' table to the big room.
Yeah. Well, you've been packing turkeys all day?
Counting and packing, yeah.
Yeah, and how's that going?
Adam's been doing the same thing.
Really? hey, listen, wise guys, that's not a euphemism.
It's not code for anything. I was actually packing turkeys.
Working the literal turkeys.
My fingers are chapped. I don't know what that means.
Heritage Turkeys, our co-sponsor tonight. is our corporate master here, Patrick? Is he showing up?
Oh, man, he wouldn't miss it.
Where's our suit? There he
Woo!
Is. Pat from Heritage Food USA.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, thanks for having me.
One of only 90 people.
Yeah, you've got a radio station, and I know how to use it. So what's the hell's going on? You're moving a lot of turkeys, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 turkeys.
Yeah, I've been basically in the back of a semi-truck for the past, like, 12 days.
That's good. Keeping you honest, back to your roots, right?
And hopefully they're not frozen, but hopefully they're not spoiled. That's the thing. That fine line between 28 and 33 degrees. It's all about that.
Yeah, so these are the famous $140 turkeys I've heard so much about.
That's cheap. That's less than McDonald's. A pound per person, that's like $10 a person, $8 a person. Yeah, these are the best turkeys in the world. They go back to the 1850s. These are the oldest genetics. Not the individual birds. They're very aged. Yeah, you're going to get very sick if you eat these. Very, very sick.
Did you have the same problem that Butterball had? You said the turkeys weren't getting fat.
Oh, really? No. Ours are healthy. They can actually survive in nature, so they never get that fat. They can fly. They can run around. Yeah, we have the healthiest turkeys in the world. They'd kick your ass, Mike. I tell you, they'd kick my ass.
Yeah, I don't doubt. At which point did Thanksgiving become this like homage to like cruelty to animals?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. These big companies. I mean, now that Boar's Head, have you seen Boar's Head has this new ad campaign? If you see anyone selling a non-Boar's Head turkey, report them because they should go to jail. We want to know them. I'm like, Your turkeys are treated like shit. What are you playing, holier than thou and like cheaper turkey? All those turkeys are like prisoners in a war camp, you know?
So, great turkey master, how are you going to cook your turkey this Thanksgiving?
Mom and I used to go to Peter Luger's for Thanksgiving, but now that I'm in the business, we're just going to... I do absolutely nothing to it. I wash it, because it is kind of, you know, you never know where it's been in the slaughterhouse. But, I just put it in an oven and do absolutely nothing, and then prove. People are like, it's pretty good. I'm like, see, and I didn't do anything to it. And if they're like, it's great, I'm like, and I did nothing to it. It's like a win-win.
Paul, you got any hot turkey tips? Anything you picked up down in New Orleans way?
I'm going to deep fry my turkey in my East Village apartment.
We were talking
I hope it works out.
Should I call the fire department now, or should I wait till your apartment catches fire?
It's going to burn for 8 days.
What's up with that? See? That is the cult kind of cultural appropriation.
I've been waiting all show to say that.
I wish Miley Cyrus could adopt. stuff
no,
that.
I'm closing the restaurant. You know, it's time. I want to go and I want to see my family. I want to fight properly. You know, I want to be thankful for the other 364 days I'm not with them.
Right on. You guys ever have Thanksgiving in a restaurant?
Absolutely. Actually, Terroir in Tribeca. Not in Tribeca. That's the one I run, but the one in Park Slope where it's closed down, but they're opening it up for staff to come in and friends and family to make a big turkey feast. So. And then last year, I guess I went to a restaurant for Thanksgiving, and I've always thought it was kind of awful to see that people had to work on Thanksgiving.
I work on Thanksgiving. I'm actually a half Native American, so I hand out blankets on Thanksgiving. I take the blankets that the homeless already have, and I hand those out to. I have a good idea actually for the homeless for Thanksgiving. I think we should dress them up as pirates. Because if you dress up a homeless person as a pirate, they'll definitely get some money, I think, for this Thanksgiving. People are walking over the homeless. It's freezing outside. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dress them up as something, and I think people would start
I love that idea.
They step over them. That would be my Thanksgiving, giving blankets out to
us. Jack Inslee, where are you spending Thanksgiving this year?
Long Island.
Long Island. What goes on out there? Applebee's?
Yeah, basically. No, it's to the point where I can't even...
I was a restaurant chef. I used to trade days. Like, I would work Christmas so I could have Thanksgiving off, and I worked at Savoy in Soho in the 90s, and for some reason, like, a whole bunch of us were Jewish on the line. It was like this weird little moment in Savoy's history, and we called ourselves, we were the Jew crew, and so we would all work Christmas so that we could have Thanksgiving off, and then there was nobody left to work Thanksgiving, of course. So I think Peter just decided to close 1 year, something like that. But every time I see him now, it's been like 20 years, he's like, hey, Jew crew. Like, he totally remembers that. It's pretty funny. 1 year I served Poussin at home. You know what Poussin are? They're little tiny baby chickens. Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to be, like, really swanky and not serve turkey to my family.
Oh, like a racer head.
Yeah, and, like, everybody. Yeah. Like little baby chicks. Like tiny little baby chicks. And everybody got a little tiny baby chick on their plate instead of a big turkey. And that didn't really... That didn't go over so well. No. They never let me live that one down.
Yeah, the turkey's a thing. I mean, people don't really... Yeah. You just stray from that path.
They don't want the little baby chick on their plate.
Well, they don't want anything. They get confused, I think, when you don't put a turkey down on the plate. Yeah. I'm roasting a duck this year. Mm. I'm roasting a duck. What? Nobody? Why a duck?
No,
what the
good.
Fuck is wrong with that? I don't know, because you know what? Because it's just for a few people, two people. Me and my shiksa girlfriend, we're going to have a duck. And I don't need a whole turkey. And I thought duck was okay, Patrick.
Are ducks in season right now?
Well, I think, my friend.
Did Patrick, you kill the duck yourself?
No. Well, when you say kill it, I mean I...
Like, shoot it.
I killed it with my credit card. Oh, like a good Jew.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, kill a duck. Like a like Jews and guns. Yeah. It's about as good an idea as Jews and football. Football, Pat. Pat Patrick, I mean, very Dickensian, no? Not to have ducks and geese this time of year?
Goat-tober, Turk-vember, Duck-sember. It's not Duck-vember. It's Duck-sember. I'm disappointed. I don't know if we're going to renew your contract.
It all depends on which calendar you're using. Right?
Yeah, what my calendar says 5774.
There you go. So, gear for ducks.
Yeah,
did I get that right,
yeah.
Rabbi Dan?
So that's okay.
That's good. So, Eric, Paul, or one of you chefs, we have so many great chefs in this room. Well, tell me which I should stuff my duck with. And that's not a euphemism.
Well, now I'm stumped. What should you stuff your duck with? I like stovetop. That always works well, and it's easy to do.
Well, yeah,
anything with brown butter and sage.
Or the word stuffing in it.
apples, squash.
Apples. I'm thinking apples and chestnuts.
Apples and chestnuts will do well. They're just coming out now. Mushrooms would be fantastic.
Do you guys go for the old school kind of ironic Thanksgiving food? I mean, Jesse, you were kind enough to bring us a can of cranberry sauce.
I do all the stuff that my mother always made, and I had to hear every single year for the past 10 decades my father saying the same horrible jokes. You know, pass the creamed onions. Everybody would say, "What's a dunion?" he had this really horrible joke. He would always say, I know, and we have to hear it every single year. The other one was, a guy walks into a diner and says to the waitress, "You have pumpkin pie?" And she says, "All our pie is pumpkin here." Like, he thought these things were funny, and he repeats them. Exactly. Feel my pain. You think you're the only one who suffers?
No, I was just totally amazed that Mike and I were talking about the jellied cranberry sauce and how I have this. I really have an affinity towards it, and it feels only like Thanksgiving if it's around. And I was going exactly. I was going through my cupboard today, and I realized I had a can of jellied cranberry sauce. My girlfriend's like, "Why the hell do we have that? We never made Thanksgiving." And I think maybe I carried it with me for so many years just to feel at home.
Serve it. You have to just pop it out of the can so you see the ridges.
Yes, absolutely.
Or else
I agree. Like, don't mush it up. I want a disc of it.
You want to see those ridges? You know, it's ridged for your pleasure. what are the ironic or not ironic or those comfort foods? And you guys making casseroles with Lipton soup mix? You know, or
the crispy onion ring.
Yeah.
The green beans.
It's Lipton,
that
right?
Goes in it, what is that?
Cream of mushroom, cream right? Mushroom. Campbell's cream.
Right. No, that's too goyish.
Not for my mother.
No.
You know, Mike, I tried to bring a heritage turkey and a bunch of good cheese and some bourbon home for Thanksgiving, and my mom called me pretentious, and then that was it.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, I want my butterball. Don't come back with that stuff this year.
Yeah, well, you're getting too worldly, Jack.
Yeah, man.
That's what's happening. I know, because my mom doesn't get it either. When I tried to bring a nice bottle of wine, you know, I might as well be managed to have it. It's pearls before swine. It's kind of sad. In fact, and my mom, last year, I planned, the idea was to go to my brother's house. My brother lives in Chicago, and my mother had other plans. At which point, when my brother found out my mother had other plans, he says, "Come have Thanksgiving with us." But when my mother found out that I was going to be with my brother, she said, "Great, we'll all be together," and she changed her plans to visit us. I am no longer invited to my brother's house because it backfired the first time.
I'm in a very unfortunate position. The older that my parents get, it's like they lost their taste buds. They only eat for sustenance now.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there on Christmas Eve one time, and after traveling all day in the snow, I got there, and my mother had made like a macaroni salad, like elbows and fucking mayonnaise. And, you know, on Christmas Eve, and they just eat now so they don't die, you know. So, like, flavor and actually going through any sort of effort is a lot worse. So I have to lug a bunch of bags of all delicious food up there for them.
Professor Mickey Finn, we haven't heard from you. What are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? Where are you headed out?
I'll be driving to North Carolina in the horrible weather, apparently.
Well, you're not from North Carolina. What the hell's going on there?
No, my sister lives down there in Mayberry.
Real.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Well, it's like a suburban Mayberry. Everybody knows everybody.
Is it right next to Springfield? I mean,
Cop has one bullet in his pocket.
Yeah, pretty much. But she loves it, so go figure.
And what kind of food are they going to serve?
We're having ham.
You're having ham? Yeah. Having ham. What do we think? What do we think about
that? Oh, the hams. Oh, I love the hams. Okay, all right. I got to get into this. It's a holiday season, and honestly, the whole thing about the hams, the circle cut hams, the spiral cut hams. Oh my God! There's a thing where if they're actually sold from a retail level, there are women who finger the spiral cut hams. Have you heard of it? Judy talked about this last year. There are women. There are testers. There are women who finger the spiral cut ham. Just to, I don't know what they're looking for, but this is actually a thing.
there is the Smithfield ham.
Seriously. I mean, and it's the kind of gift you give people when you're on a plane and you're, you know, you're looking through the catalogs, the what's it called, the Sky Mall?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, did that basket come with the ham, or did you buy it separately?
It's like people send each other hams. Oh, it's amazing. I love them, though.
Hickory Farms. The nice cheese spread. You ever notice, like, you eat that stuff now, like Hickory Farms and all those other things that were so popular? Like,
summer sausage.
But now they're so horrible. Now that we've been exposed to all this fantastic food and, like, great cheeses and everything, you eat that stuff now, and it's just like, oh,
no,
my God.
There's a huge category. It's like wood filler. People still eat that. And when I was a kid, we used to drive to Florida every Christmas because what do you do if you're a Jew? At Christmas, you drive to Florida to see the grandparents, and my father being the quintessential cheap.
What kind of Jewish family did you grow up? We have all these horror stories.
I never went to Florida. What kind of Jewish family did you grow up in? It doesn't have them.
Well, we weren't going to Florida and fingering spiral hams.
We would drive to Florida, and instead of actually, like, buying lunch, we would find a mall that had a Hickory Farms, and we would go eat all the free samples for lunch.
Oh, damn. Oh, okay.
That was our lunch.
Okay,
that's a tiny story. Right there.
So here we were with, like, the Holocaust survivor mother and the father raised in Brooklyn Orthodox. We would be stopping at Hickory Farms and eating the summer sausage and the salami and the cheese for lunch on the way
You'd
to Florida.
You'd eat the sausage? The pork sausage?
Of course.
Really?
It was free.
Because it was free!
Free on the way to the Orthodox grandparents in Miami.
Oi.
Wow.
That's a big hoi vang.
It's not nearly as good as movies and Chinese food.
No, that was...
That's Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, that's Christmas.
Okay, get your juice shit.
Did you have mushrooms also? Hallucinogenic ones?
Probably.
That would have added to the experience.
It always does. Yeah. One of my favorite things is the port cheddar cheese ball. I mean, with the nuts.
Walnuts on top.
With the nuts, oh my God. You actually turned me on to it, I think, actually.
Literally.
We might have been fucked up, and at one point or another, he's like, try this. It's probably. But that's one of the things that it's a crap food. Like, I actually like Spam. I do. I know that's a horrible thing to say on a food channel.
The second he said it, it's like the White Castle is out, the Spam is in.
Oh, stuffing it with White Castle.
White Castle ran a contest some years ago, but what's the best thing you can do with a White Castle hamburger for sort of like this alternative recipe contest? And the person that won had a White Castle stuffing for Thanksgiving.
That's disgusting.
Hey, Inslee, don't knock it till you try it.
Sorry.
Mike, you have one of the best White Castle stories I've ever heard.
Yeah,
Mike,
well, tell us well I took a, knife in a White Castle, but we'll save that story.
Took a knife in a White Castle?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you want to hear a story about Spam, I was in Korea a couple years ago.
I have Korean Spam, but go ahead.
Yes, I do. I was visiting a friend in Korea. I worked in Vietnam, and I was on my way home, and I visited an old student of mine in Korea, and it was the middle of winter, it was freezing cold, and she said, "Oh, do you like sausage?" And I was like, yeah, thinking it was going to be some kind of like Korean artisanal, like special fermented something. She's like, "Oh, I take you. We go eat." And we went to this restaurant that was built in, you know, like 1927, hadn't been redecorated. We sit on the floor. They bring out these bubbling tofu jjigae, which are these Korean stews. She's like, "This is very special Korean stew." We start eating it, and there's chunks of Spam and hot dogs and melted Velveeta in the stew. She's like, "This is very special. It's called Johnson jjigae."
Shut up.
But not Johnson like in the dirty way, Johnson like the president. Because after the war, the U.S. dumped all this food aid on Korea, and it was Spam and hot dogs and Velveeta, and they were all really thankful, and they named it after Johnson and had this special LBGK. Exactly. There you go. It was actually really good. It was really delicious. So don't knock Spam because it fed a lot of people around the world after the wars.
Hey, Zach from Schmaltz Brewing, you're passing me another bottle. What are we drinking?
Oh, this is a truly special treat. This is called Funky Jubilation.
It's really so, funky. Definitely
super funky. So this is a completely different style. Now, that first version of Jubilation is a newer beer that we just released. That was our Extreme Hanukkah Ale. Funky Jubilation is an annual barrel-aged release. So this came out earlier in the year. It's actually a blend of six different beers, barrel-aged in a combination
of
bourbon and rye. It's like wine, beer.
It's like felching George Clinton.
Yeah. That was a compliment, right?
Yes.
It's about 9.5% alcohol content.
Wow.
And this is one every year we do a different blend aged on bourbon and rye whiskey barrels.
Holy cow.
This is what you drink when you don't want to remember your conversation with your family, right?
True.
Jesse, what are you drinking this Thanksgiving? Are you drinking
Don't do the light stuff. There's some Freudian reason for that, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of light lagers, cans of beer, Budweiser. I used to love Peel's in the blue can, the draft beer in the can that Jimmy Breslin used to sell on television. But Jesse, what did you bring? Some American wines. We were talking about this last week for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm thinking going with cider. Jean-Luc Ledoux was a big helpful person yesterday, reminding me of the original American beverage. There is no vitis vinifera, meaning wine or grapes that we make wine out of that grow in the U.S. that are native to the U.S. So apples seem exactly right, and I think it's a perfectly sessionable beverage to have to start out the Thanksgiving, and it's going to go with everything that you're eating.
Nice. What drink comes from where the turkey comes from? Erica, you probably know. Is it mezcal? I mean, what is a drink that is from Central America? Where's mezcal? Well,
cacao.
Yeah, keep it real. Keep it North America.
So it's so turkeys aren't indigenous to North America?
No. Really? So Central America.
Central America.
And maybe, yeah.
So you're telling me that like Miles Standish wasn't like tucking into a bird on Thanksgiving?
Miles Standishio was.
Yeah. Shattering the myths.
Standishowitz,
though. Oh, yeah. Those Puritan Jews. I learned this week from Jesse that the Puritans stopped at Provincetown on the way to Plymouth.
They did, and they erected a very large tower. Hence why all the gays are there.
I didn't think the pilgrims were cool enough to be gay.
Well, it was said that the Native Americans taught the Americans the Europeans about turkeys and how to cure hams and all that stuff, that's where they learned it. So there's a lot of stuff that was learned during that critical, 20, 30 years.
And I think isn't that when we started making bourbon, right? Because corn grows indigenously here, and they brought over scotch, but we didn't have the ingredients here, so we made liquor out of what we grew here, and we had bourbon. But then, which to me is the great American drink.
Over the past couple of hundred years, it just everything became American. So now, American. You know, fuck everybody else.
American.
It's ours.
It's all us.
Yeah, it's all ours. American. It's all American.
So, Rabbi Dan, I've been meaning to ask you this whole time, because everybody here and everybody out in Radio Land at some point or another has to deal with a Republican, a drunk, or some other jerk-off relative. Please give us some advice. How do we keep the peace at the Thanksgiving or otherwise holiday table?
Don't go. Could do that. You could do a lot of planning ahead, which is what I do, in terms of trying to separate certain people, trying to anticipate certain types of bad behavior. And sort of prepare for that. And there's always ignoring. I'm only going to be with one Republican out of many, many people, but there's still that one Republican.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I hear
I mean,
in...
I mean, it really doesn't freaking matter. I mean, my family is ridiculously liberal, more liberal than I am, and I'm pretty fucking liberal.
More liberal than
right,
you. Seriously, and we will argue about the same thing. We'll sit there screaming at one another as we agree. You know,
it's really about family. There's something about being with family.
This is a Greek thing. We will agree with one another in high volumes and heavy decibels.
And get into fist fights.
Yes, exactly.
Have you actually had a fist fight at a Thanksgiving?
Me and my brothers, we've had fist fights. Me and my brothers have had fist fights because of, you know, Bugs Bunny. It wouldn't matter. And this is, it's just the same thing. It's this holiday thing. People get together. It's the family thing. Everybody's getting together. And it's all about other shit. It's about something that my brother did to me when I was six. You know, but we're talking about Obama and his view on it versus my view on it. When I just want to go like, yo, you took my Chex Mix, you know, or something like that. You know? Chex.
I agree with that. It's about...
Yeah.
No, with relatives, you know, it's about stuff that happened in the past. It's,
yeah, you regress back to the age you were when you left home. You know, so I left at 17, and so as soon as I go, it's like I'm 17 again, and all the old shit comes up, and that's what happens. Everybody stops maturing and developing.
I think the problem is I've matured and developed, but since I left home when
but
I was
they
18,
haven't, right?
Well, they still see me as the 18-year-old. Oh. They assume that I'm that same guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that the last 30 years didn't really happen.
You're not 18?
No, I definitely am going to be going to visit my grandparents, who are of the greatest generation, and who put my girlfriend and I in separate beds downstairs, twin beds that were actually my father and my uncle's beds. And, you know, we all just pretend like we're roommates, kind of. But I know they know the truth.
Really?
I don't know. They must. My family's too much...
Are they listening to your radio show?
Absolutely not. My grandmother doesn't know how to stream on the internet.
Yeah, let's call
She's
them
got
now.
Better things to do. Let's call, yeah, Doris Kiefer. I'll find her number.
Is that a thing we all keep secret from our relatives when we go to Thanksgiving? Certain things are just off limits to talk about?
My crack addiction.
Well, yeah.
Are you the mayor of Toronto?
You're the mayor
No. Well, casual crack use. Right. Recreational crack
But I'm
use.
Not an addict.
Do you say that?
Dude, a dry turkey? What do you say when someone serves you bad food?
Yes, I have some smoked crack cocaine.
Spent $170 on that turkey and you just ruined it. Patrick's
the turkey died in vain. Now it tastes like a commodity butterball. Yeah. Go to hell.
But you have to
Luckily
eat
you're
it.
You're Jewish and there is no hell
yeah,
for us.
Wherever the Jews go.
Yeah. I think that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, hell is definitely a...
Where do Jews go?
Have we not talked about naps, though? Is anybody else napping real heavy?
Oh, yeah. How long after dinner do you have the first nap?
I'm the first one every year.
First sandwich.
Jack is saying he's the first one down. But exactly, Patrick, when's the first sandwich after dinner?
Like probably an hour before the turkey is served.
And do you fry it in butter? Do you do anything really obscene with the sandwich? Like turkey, like the cold turkey, fried in butter, and then with stuffing on top of it, and then the bread fried in butter.
Why do we have to eat so early that day? I don't get it. What's so early?
It
like
leave room for the
4 o'clock, yeah. And then you have to sit around and talk and fall asleep.
We haven't even talked about sports on television.
You shouldn't eat the first sandwich until everything is cold.
Right, okay.
So it's got to be cold. So as long as it's cold, it's good to go. If you have a blast chiller, then...
Thanksgiving sports are historically terrible. It was always the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys.
Or the Dolphins.
Almost never been a good Thanksgiving game. Historically, that's why they get that slot, is because no one's ever watching those games. It's like their one national game of the year.
And it's always snowing, right?
Yes.
I feel like it's always snowing.
And it's, well, what about other television? Movies? Thanksgiving movies?
I grew up in L.A. I grew up in an L.A. hippie Jewish musician household, so we didn't do sports in my house. So every Thanksgiving was Twilight Zone marathon.
That's great. But then what do you do on New Year's Day?
Honeymooners
is New Year's Day. I watch domestic violence on... one day, Alice. It's like, seriously, you're going to beat your wife one day? Are you really promoting beating your wife?
All right, that's not...
March of the Wooden Soldiers, that was my favorite on Halloween. That was,
Well, that sounds like a good segue, actually, to my favorite Thanksgiving movie, The Last Waltz. And I thought before we go, we'd offer the Thanksgiving prayer from Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Give me a second.
Let us pray. Our Father, whose art's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Unless things change, thy wisdom come and gone, thy will be undone on earth as it isn't heaven. Give us this day our daily bread at least 3 times a day. And forgive us our trespasses on love's territory, for thine is the wisdom and power and glory. Oh, man!
Oh, can you dig it? Well, we're coming to the end of a very fast hour here on the Heritage Radio Network, streaming live from Roberta's here in Bushwick. Zach from Smalls Brewing, thanks for bringing beer. You got one more for us to taste before we get out of here and go get properly plastered?
Indeed, I do. All right, so this last one that's coming around is called Ripa on Rye. So we had our St. Lenny's Belgian R.I.P.A., which was that rye-based double IPA. And this is part of our barrel aging program. So you guys tried Funky Jubilation. Now, this is that barrel, that double IPA, but we aged it on Willett Rye Whiskey Barrels. So this is a new release. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, we actually just built ourselves a brand spanking new brewery up in Clifton Park, New York.
Woo-hoo!
Right in, thank you, in between Albany and Saratoga Springs. We're the largest brewery in Clifton Park, New York. And the only thing. And so this opens in July. We've been around for 17 years brewing out of Saratoga Springs. Just opened our brand new spot. Tasting room is open, and this is one of our most popular beers, Ripa on Rye. It's award-winning, and we're going to change it up every time. So we've got some on Redemption Rye right now that'll be coming out right after the new year.
Nice. I gotta ask. I mean, one of the things I love to do is, back to turkeys again, I love to braise a turkey. Right? How would this be with a braised turkey?
actually that Messiah that you guys started off with. So that was pre-show was Messiah or Nut Brown Ale. We say that's the beer you've been waiting for.
Hey, I'd like to say you have a lot of hops.
Brown ale is actually excellent for
braising. Okay.
Wait a minute, you braised the whole thing or just the legs and thighs?
Just the tip. The whole thing. Just the tip.
That's what we usually chuck. Well, as always, Arts and Seizures has been the fastest show on the internet today. I want to thank everybody for coming by today. Brian, we got one more song. You want to do another song before we go out of here? You guys have been absolutely fantastic. Jesse, thank you so much. Spiro, Paul, and Adam, hear their show Eating Disorder coming up in January. Professor Mickey Finn on the piano, always a pleasure to have you here. Rabbi Dan Bronstein, I can't believe you're here. Erica Weitz, thank you and happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right, Patrick and Aaron from Heritage Food USA. All right, let's go out with one more song. What do you got in mind, Brian? The song that Bruce Springsteen said was the greatest song ever written about America. All right, maybe I can sing it with you a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, give me that again. Let's see if we can do this. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
I've roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
When the sun came shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting and a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign said, no trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
All right, can't you dig it one more time? Let's hear it. Let's hear it one more time for Brian Hurd from Big Daddy Long Legs. And I want to thank everybody for coming here tonight. Patrick and Eric from Heritage Food, Paul, Spear, and Adam from Eating Disorder. Jesse, thank you so much. Rabbi Dan and Mickey, professor on the keyboards. Did I mention Jack Insley, producer for the stars? My name is Mike Edison for Arts and Seizure. We'll see you real soon, everybody. Have a great holiday. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless us, one and all. Yeah.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, thanking the Lord He made you. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.